I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. Now it's time for a special edition of The Barbershop. In honor of Turkey Day, we're going to talk about, of course, sports, and maybe a little gratitude as well. Sitting in their chairs for a shape-up this week, writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel, also civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, Dave Zirin as well. He's the sports editor at the magazine The Nation. They're all here with me in our Washington studios. And joining us from our bureau in New York is Pablo Torre. He's a senior writer with the ESPN.com. And with that, take it away, Jimmy.
See, Headlee, thank you so much. You're good to have you back in the shop.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Fellas.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. How are we doing?
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. All right, let's get right into it with a preview of the Thanksgiving NFL games. We've got the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Redskins, New York Jets playing the New England Patriots, and last but not least, the Houston Texans up against the Detroit Lions. Detroit, I said. Guys, give me your pick. DZ, Dave Zirin, you're up first.
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, there is no way that the Burgundy and Golden from Washington are going to lose to the Dallas Cowboys in the Boss Hog Bowl down there in Dallas. That's just not going to happen. RG3 will beat trick-or-treat Tony Romo, no problem. Patriots-Jets, I'm from New York City, but I got to tell you, this Patriots team is nasty. Oof. Scoring almost 40 points a game, dropped 59 on the Colts last week. That is all about the Patriots. Now, these Houston Texans, their quarterback, Matt Schaub, went 43 for 55 last week. It might not even be one of their three best players. Those are crazy video game numbers. The Texans look like the best team in the AFC. That's where the smart money is. Not that I'm advocating gambling.
Pablo, P-Dog, what about your hometown Jets, brother?
Yeah, you know, the thing that troubled me this week was Rex Ryan for the first time said he wasn't going to trash talk the Patriots, which reminded me of it's kind of like Rex Ryan, like his private soliloquy is like Jean Valjean, where he has this existential dilemma. Like, does he abandon? You know, if he speaks, he is condemned.
Pablo, you know, put on Twitter that where that, you know, that moment when the housekeeping staff at the hotel walks in on you when you're playing Les Miserables at top volume. So we got a serious Les Miserables sports writing fan here. Jean Valjean reference too. My goodness, Pablo.
I telegraphed this reference.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to National Public Radio. A-Train.
I know, right?
Arsalan.
So I picked the Patriots.
Okay, all right. So you picked the Patriots. All right. Yes. So A-Train, you're the fanboy. Who's your favorite?
Well, my favorite, sadly, is the Buffalo Bills, but they will not be circling any wagons this year. I have to co-sign both Dave and Pablo. I think that the Redskins beat the Cowboys. I think the Patriots put a wampin' on the Jets, and the Texans really are the team to beat in the AFC right now.
Well, insofar as Cleveland still got a team,
do they?
I don't know. Like, I gotta check my Twitter. Celeste, you want a piece of this?
Look, I have to give the Lions a little love here. Look, they're at home. Mm-hmm. Kid Rock is playing. Mm-hmm. Say what you will, the Texans have a weak pass defense, and the Lions have one of the highest scoring offense in the league. So come on, there is a chance that the Lions at home could upset the Texans and bring it home. And so I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
You know, I didn't mean any harm to WCP and Cleveland. No, I love you. And
yeah, better say that. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee. You're listening to our weekly Barbershop Roundtable. It's an all sports shop in honor of the holiday. We're joined by writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, sports editor Dave Zirin, and sports writer Pablo Torre. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Celeste. You know, the Browns are playing in the football game in my heart. But anyway, let's move on.
And you're losing constantly.
Right.
You just got a coronary.
Stop. I'll never be able to go back home. So
that's what you're aiming for.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, hold on.
Sorry.
Let's make a fast break and talk about basketball. What's going on in the basketball court? After a rough start to the season, the LA Lakers are turning things around. They fired head coach Mike Brown earlier this month. Now, they're winning again with former Knick chief Mike D'Antoni. He's taking over. Zirin, you're dealing with the L.A. Egos. And it takes skill. Is the new man, is he up for the job?
I absolutely think so. Love Mike D'Antoni. Admittedly, no Phil Jackson, who's on that Mount Rushmore of all-time coaches. But Mike D'Antoni, you're talking about somebody who's got a great relationship with Kobe Bryant. He has a mind meld with point guard Steve Nash. They share a brain. Can't think of a better person not named Phil Jackson to coach this team.
A-Train.
Yeah, and that's the problem with it, the not Phil Jackson part.
I mean, you know,
you know, you talk about Mount Rushmore. I mean, Phil Jackson is the Mount Everest of NBA coaches. 11 championship rings, you know, there were leaks in the media that, you know, they were serious in talks. And then you're going to pick Mike D'Antoni. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Steve Nash can't run the triangle. Listen, if you brought Phil Jackson into the Lakers, Steve Nash would run the triangle, the pentagon, the hexagon, and the dodecahedron. So, you know, I think it was a bad move on the part of the Buss family. They made a bad move picking Mike Brown in the first place. And, you know, I think if D'Antoni succeeds, it's only going to be because of the star power that he has on the court.
You know what? You'll never hear this much multi-syllabic ridiculousness on ESPN. So that's true. I can tell you that. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. Oh, I didn't mean to hit your people in the mouth like that. But anyway, okay. So, you know, D'Antoni's old team, the Knicks, you know, they're ready for Social Security. The necks and backs are cracking, you know, but they're winning. You know, are they for real? Seriously?
So far, they are. And, you know, it pains me to utter those words because as a native New Yorker, as a guy who grew up a Knicks fan who has since had a very emotionally complicated relationship with that franchise for a variety of reasons, I'm waiting for this to collapse. The wheels are going to come off at some point. That's what I'm saying. But these guys, I mean, the oldest roster in NBA history, and granted, in the world of sports, an average age of 33 qualifies as the oldest roster in NBA history. But you have Kurt Thomas, who's 40. You have Rasheed Wallace, who's 38. Marcus Camby is 38. You know, and
they have a 36-year-old rookie.
And exactly, and Pablo Prigioni, the other, the Pablo Power Rankings.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
But here's what it comes down to with the Knicks. Carmelo Anthony is happy with Mike Woodson, that coach, who replaced Mike D'Antoni, in fact. And Carmelo Anthony being happy and trying hard is the key to the Knicks being good. And he, as long as he does that, and it seems like he's set to do that, he has an even larger chip on his shoulder this year. I think the Knicks are going to be in it.
In other words, he's master of the house, Pablo.
Master of the house.
Quick to catch your
eye.
Come on, we're not going to start singing here, guys.
A-Train.
This is Arslan. I don't mean to jump all over Pablo's empire state of mind here, but let's not forget that last year during the NBA playoffs, the New York Knicks won their first playoff game in 10 years.
Oh, so, you know, you're raining on the parade.
I am raining on the parade because it's only going to matter come playoff time when you have to win a 7-game series, win best 4 out of 7. I still think that my Boston Celtics are the only team in the East that can give Miami a run for their money. They were 6 minutes away in Game 7 from taking out the Heat. I think it's going to be Celtics and Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think it's going to be L.A. Lakers and Oklahoma City in the West.
Speaking of giving Miami a run for their money, there's somebody that might be the next LeBron James, but maybe without all that hubris. and I'm sorry, LeBron. But, you know, there's this dude over in Iowa, Grinnell College guard Jack Taylor. He broke the NAACP.
They have a scoring record?
All the more impressive
he got the Thurgood Marshall Award last year.
No, he broke the NCAA scoring record last
night. And the video
is going
viral. Yeah, yeah. Taylor earned 138 points.
He didn't earn it. He dropped.
Yeah,
learned the lingo. He dropped it.
Yeah, here's Jonathan Coachman interviewing Taylor after the game on ESPN SportsCenter.
So at what point did you say, I'm having a pretty good game, keep feeding me the rock?
Well, it was actually at halftime. I thought I only had about 30 points at halftime, but Coach came in and told me I had 58, and the team was really excited about that and wanted to continue giving me the ball.
Thanks. C. Headley. He thought he was on a video game. That's the truth.
He was on a video game.
A-Train, you want
to? Dude, all I know is, you know, why didn't the coach of the opposing team start double, triple teaming this kid after he dropped 50?
Maybe he was enjoying it.
Listen, I would have taken the mascot. I would have taken my grandmama off the bench and been like, don't let that kid shoot. But the guy dropped dimes. It was awesome.
Yeah. And he was averaging averaging 24 points per game before last night. So, I mean, he was a beast anyway.
Yeah, but 138 points, 0 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tell it, Dave.
Took over 100 shots, made less than half of them. The rest of his teammates combined took 26 shots. He took 40 more shots than the entire North Carolina team did last night. Look, I watched it. I kind of felt like the way I watch when I see that guy Kobayashi win the hot dog eating contest. Oh. It's very impressive, but it's kind of gross.
This is Dave Zirin, our resident player hater.
My favorite stat from this game is that there's another guy on the opposing team, David Larson from Faith Baptist. 70 points on 34 of 44 shooting, And he had one assist, one more than Jack Taylor. That guy,
boom,
to me, is my player of the game.
Thanks. That's Pablo Torre up there in New York.
So we've talked about football, talked about basketball. I think there's another sport out there for sure, right?
Not right now.
Yeah, who knows if we'll hear these these sounds coming up anytime soon.
Now picked up by Ovechkin. Here he comes. Ovechkin trying to drag it through him there. Oh! He scored! Alexander Ovechkin, when it looked like it was no longer possible, he still got it done.
That's right. You guessed it. That's the sound of hacky sack. I'm just kidding. That's actually Washington Capitals game from a while back. A legendary goal by star Alex Ovechkin as he slid across the ice on his back. Dude, on his back? Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Zirin, the league is on ice right now over a labor dispute because you got to have that money, especially if you're sliding across ice, right? But will things warm up in time to save the season?
I'm guessing probably not. I mean, Gary Bettman has talked to the commissioner of the NHL, a person who, when he became commissioner, bragged about the fact that he had never actually been to an NHL game and who overexpanded the league throughout the 1990s, said, "I see the future of professional hockey, and it is in the south and southwest of the United States."
Nice.
This is Gary Bettman. He's the person who oversaw the canceling of the season a few years back. We're looking at that again. It's a disastrous situation, not just for the players and not just for fans, but for everybody who derives some form of employment from stadiums, from hockey games, from picking up an extra shift at the restaurant next to the stadium. So it's an absolute debacle. If Gary Bettman was the president of the United States, he'd be impeached faster than you could say Andrew Johnson.
Is it debacle or debacle?
You say
tomato.
Okay, I'm just curious. Tomato. I mean, I didn't want to be having said it wrong all this time, my whole life. Pablo Torre, P-Dog.
Yes. I mean, this is Gary Bettman. You know, he presides over lockouts, plural. He's done this before. The rhetoric so far has been exactly the same. The NBA, if you recall, last year started its season on Christmas, and the NBA is in a far better place financially than the NHL is. And the NHL, to me, the problem is just the public awareness of the sport. As much as we kid about what's hockey, you know, the reality is people aren't really missing the game. And I don't know if you're a sport that really needs to horn in on you know, being the big four. You know, it used to be the big four, hockey, baseball, basketball, football. Now it's the big three very clearly. And hockey's slipping away every day. And I don't know if they can really take months and months of proving that your sport isn't all that relevant.
Although in D.C., the Capitals are doing better than the Wizards.
That's fair. That's fair. That's all not right. Very hard, but that's fair.
Sorry.
Well, okay, moving on there. A lot of people are going to spend Thanksgiving not just watching sports, but playing sports, right, on their
absolutely.
Consoles?
Absolutely. A-Train, this is where, you know, you live. Because we're talking about video games, brother. You know, because you can...
don't hate the player.
I'm saying, right? I mean, Nintendo just dropped a bomb. They dropped the Wii U. It's their first new console in over 5 years. What's new is basically it's a tablet.
It's a bomb.
It's a tablet... You know, using the tablet as a controller. Now, you know, it's one of those things. Now, I want to run out and get it, but I want to wait till they get all the bugs out. I'm that guy. You know, I don't want to be the guy because I used to.
You don't want to be a first.
Yeah, I mean, because I was one of the guys that like I bought a Dreamcast for me and my son, and I like loaded up on all the games, and I was like, now I was like, Dreamcast where?
Yeah.
You know, so I think with Wii U. I wanna wait. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think that I think the Wii U is a gimmick. I think a lot of these companies are coming out with gimmicky things. What I think is most telling is the launch of new flagship games. So recently we had Assassin's Creed 3, which recently came out, which I got on the first day. Halo 4 is supposed to be the best of the Halo franchise, and I think now with the upcoming Thanksgiving, Black Friday, into the holiday season sales, you're going to see a lot of volume move on a lot of these flagship games like Madden 13 and things like that. I think the games are going to be the thing that are going to drive things more than the consoles themselves.
Dave, are you going to spill out some loot for a Wii U?
No, I played Dominoes.
Oh, come on now.
You're
a player hater and a game hater. What about you, Pablo? You're gonna buy a Wii U, right, Pablo?
I have a Wii already, and the thing that troubles me about the Wii U is that it's moving away from the whole exercise idea of the Wii.
Yeah, it's true.
That was the reason why I got a Wii, so I could convince myself that I was improving my general life by playing
it. You're kind of in denial there, Pablo. But
let's
set this aside for a moment, especially the singing. And remember that tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so, in the size of a tweet, in a one sentence, I want you guys to tell me what you're thankful for this year. Pablo, let me go with you first.
I am grateful for power. I saw people selling photos of my flooded street.
Dave?
Thankful for turkey on the table, wild turkey under the table.
Arsalan?
I'm thankful for barbershop fans nationwide who have been listening to us for 5 years. Go get your tryptophan comas.
And Jimmy?
I'm grateful for my my wife and my family.
Oh, that make us look bad.
Come on, man. That's a given.
Thank you.
Well, I guess it is. I just gave it.
There you go.
So run tell that, homeboy.
do you guys, the rest of you, want to take another crack at your, in light of what Jimmy just said? Anyone want to make points?
I still like
with
my
the...
turkey and wild turkey.
Okay.
God, family football, and Barack Obama.
Wow.
All on the same level.
Pablo, you know, there's still time to go get a Wii U and make use of that power on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know what? I played Halo 4 last night. I'm going to stick with killing virtual people for a while, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, I am grateful for the barbershop. I'm grateful for all you guys.
I
do want to mention, though, let me just mention to go back to the Detroit Lions for just a moment.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
I want to get this in. That since you mentioned wild turkey, I want to point out that Jimmy Jr., the football-loving turkey, chose the Lions to win.
Wow. Can't argue
and
with
he's
that.
He's probably going to be on a plate somewhere tomorrow. Yeah.
Done deal.
So.
No, they're not going to kill Jimmy Jr. Come on.
But they will stuff him inside a duck and wrap him inside.
No, come on. Jimmy Israel is a writer and culture critic. He's also adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College. Dave Zirin is a sports editor for The Nation magazine. He's also host of Sirius XM Radio's Edge of Sports Radio. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and founder of themuslimguy.com. They're all here with me in D.C. Pablo Torre is up at our NRPR studios in New York. He's senior writer for ESPN.com. Thanks, you guys, and happy holidays.
Gobble, gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, yep.
If you can't get enough barbershop buzz on the radio, look for the new Barbershop podcast. It's in the iTunes store or at NPR.org. That is our program for today. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is Tell Me More for NPR News. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have a great Thanksgiving.